welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Amen. Good morning, Life Church. I am Pastor Valerie Johnson. Our senior pastors, Rockland and Eva, are away. So they asked if I would serve in their place this morning. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so I know if you guys have been here before, you know Rockland is involved with a series, and he's been looking at all that we have, all that we're entitled to as children of the Most High God. And I listened to a sermon last week, and one of the things he really touched upon was grace. I didn't want to disrupt his sermon, his series, so I tried to, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to prepare a message that would flow within what he's been teaching. So what really touched my heart was the idea of God's grace. So we're going to talk about that this morning. I titled it Grace, God's Love Released, God's Power in Action. That really is what grace is. Grace is when God releases what is necessary for his children to serve him. That is what grace is about. And as I thought about it, one of the definitions that Rockland gave last week, so we'll talk a little bit about what is grace. If we had to sort of pin it down, I mean, it's hard to pin God down, but there's certain understandings that he reveals to us. And one of the things that Rockland talked about last week was this notion that God's grace enables us to be who God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do. And if you just think about that for a second, that should be the most encouraging thing you probably have heard in a long time. Because of God's grace, whatever God has decided for us to be, we can be. Because of God's grace, whatever God has assigned us to do, we can do. But that also leaves us without excuse. Because God says, I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. So today we're going to talk about, as children of the Most High God, what does grace mean in our lives, our everyday lives? How does grace affect us, right? But grace is also God's unmerited favor. It's his love that he lavishes and pours upon us that we don't earn. We don't have to do anything to get. It's just what he does. And because of God's grace, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He's able to lavish love upon us, blessing after blessing after blessing, flow unto us because of God's grace. And it doesn't matter where we are in our life. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. He just pours it out upon us. And we have to really embrace that mentally, because some of us feel so bound to our deficits, our failures, when we came up short when we didn't get it right. Some of us feel so bound to that place where Satan holds us as a captive. But we have to, as children of God, not allow Satan to do that, because we have been given every weapon to defeat him, amen, to overcome him, to basically put him in his place. Amen. That's our work to do. We don't have the excuse of complacency. We don't have the excuse of weakness. We don't have the excuse of ignorance. Because God has revealed to us enough to do what he's called us to do. So I want you to think about children for a moment. And when you think about grace, something about children softens your heart. Something about children brings in you kindness and a desire to care for them. They don't even have to be your child. If you see any child hurt or lost or trying to reach for something, your inclination is to help, to make sure they're okay, to give them what they need. And that's kind of what God does with us with grace. He's there to help, to enable, to bless us, to serve us, to lavish compassion upon us. So because of this, we really are favored. We really can embrace the notion that we are truly children, not stepchildren, you know. It's all these negative connotations with stepchildren. But we're not something that God just adopted, right, and sort of treated us secondarily because we're not of his direct lineage. I mean, we are his children. And we have to expect that the grace that he has for us will be released unto us. Bless you. So, you know, if we think about children, they do not have to earn any of the favor that is bestowed upon them, because they wouldn't earn anything. They are some undeserving creatures. But we bestow all types of blessing and favor upon them, just like we're undeserving creatures. It's our love for children that moves our compassion because of their helpless state. That our hearts are moved because children are helpless. Except for people serving them, they wouldn't make it. They wouldn't have a chance. And that's how we are. Amen. Except for God helping us, we ain't gonna make it. We don't have a chance. We need his grace. We need his favor. But I also want you to understand that God's grace builds us up. It builds us up so that we can carry out the assignment we've received. How many times have you tried to carry something that's too heavy for you? Right? I've been doing a little bit of working out. I say a little bit. Just because I don't want y'all to say, well, what's going on? Seems that she's working out. But I've been doing a little bit of working out. And, you know, I have to do weights. So last time I borrow Al's weight, I go home with the weights and I'm just doing stuff, you know. And so I'm trying to show off. So I says, Kayla, see if you can lift these weights, you know. And she takes the weights, and they're 2 12-pound weights, and she's, oh my, I can't do it. I'm like, ha, I can lift them, right? It's because I started with 5-pound weights, right? God is building you up so you can carry the heavy weights. He knows what life has in store for you, specifically for you. He knows what life has in store for your marriage. He knows it will come under attack. He knows that where he has put two together, Satan's job is to separate. He knows that a husband will need grace to love and serve his wife. A wife needs grace to love and serve her husband. We need grace to do the everyday things that God has called us to do, because we can't do it in our own strength, right? We need grace to be patient with children when we're tired, when we've worked a long day, right? We gotta go to the grocery store, gotta come home and cook. They're hungry, they're ready to eat. You say, give me a minute. I need a second. You need grace for the everyday things in life. We need grace to be that witness on the job, right? We can't act like everybody else, talking bad about the boss, you know, talking about how you're underpaid, mumbling under your breath. We are called to be witnesses, light, salt. That requires grace, right? Because we can't do any of this in our own strength. Amen? Praise God. So I want you to think for a second, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we love to talk about being children of the kingdom. Oh, I'm a kingdom child. And I belong to a kingdom. But I think sometimes we forget what God's kingdom is about. God's kingdom isn't about promoting you to lord it over other people. God's kingdom isn't about you feeling better than other people. God's kingdom isn't about you feeling entitled to have more than everybody else because you're a child of God. God's kingdom is about loving your neighbor as yourself and serving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what his kingdom looks like. And so when we talk about advancing the kingdom of God and being a part of the kingdom of God, these are the types of things we need to be looking for. How can I grow in loving my neighbor? And I have news for you. Your neighbor is your spouse. Your neighbor is your children. Your neighbor is that family member that is very difficult. Your neighbor is that coworker on the job. Your neighbor is that person that you have to interact with on a daily basis. This is where God pours out his grace, right? It's easy to sort of think that the neighbor is sort of a distant person you might run across that might need something, right? But really, our neighbors are people that we come in contact with day to day. Because that's when we're exercising who God is. That's when we're demonstrating it in our relationships day to day to day. So we are charged with advancing the kingdom of God here on earth wherever we go. And it is grace that enables us to experience the kingdom of God. We couldn't experience it if God didn't enable us to do it. So our lives should be full of this grace. It should magnify with grace. And that grace is understanding that it's not in our own strength, it's in God's strength. I know some of us really love the scripture that talks about, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. But that all things is because of God's grace. It's his grace that enables us to do all the things he's called us to do. Now, I get nervous when I start talking about God's people and how God wants to bless you and how God wants to enrich you, because immediately I start thinking about people thinking they're supposed to get a promotion and get a car and a big house. That's immediately what we start thinking about. God's favored me. Oh, I must be getting a house. Ooh, I know I was going to get that promotion. I heard a word from the Lord today in church that said, I've got God's favor. You know, we immediately start thinking about the material wealth. But that's not what God is talking about when he's talking about lavishing us with things and blessings and grace. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about lavishing upon you the things that you need to be the best disciple you can be. He's talking about lavishing on you the things that you need to be the best child of God you can be. He wants to lavish on you the things that you need to be the best neighbor you can be. That's what he's talking about. Not the material things. And it's very easy to say, you know, I got a girlfriend, love her to death. She lives in Virginia, and her son has this amazing house. I mean, amazing, right? It's I don't know if any of you have gone to Bishop Thompson's house, but this thing is bigger than that. I mean, it's amazing, right? It's really like a mansion type thing. And she, you know, she loves to talk about how the Lord blessed her son with this house. Oh, the Lord's favor is really upon my son. Maybe. I don't know if the house indicates that. I don't know if that's what that house means, right? And I'm not hating on him for the house, but I'm trying to get you to understand that you can't measure God's grace by the things that you have or the things that you don't have. God is not withholding things from you because you're not living up to a standard. He doesn't work like that. That's not how we measure God's grace. Okay? God's grace enables us to be the best disciple we can be because we can't love enough on our own. We can't be kind enough on our own. I have to confess, this morning I had a difficult, challenging morning, so it's confession time. I had a challenging morning, stayed up too late, couldn't get it together this morning, blah, blah, blah. So I'm running late, and I'm starting to feel stressed because I'm running late. So there's a car in front of me. You know these car stories, right? And they are driving just fast enough to miss the light. And I'm behind them. And I'm thinking, if you just press the accelerator a little bit more, we both can make it through this light. And they didn't. I almost lost my mind. In the car, and I'm having a conversation with myself. Now all they had to do was push the accelerator just a little bit more. Now yeah, I'm sitting there, and I know I got to be somewhere. Well, then you know what? I had to pull myself together. I had to say, they're not the reason why I'm late. I'm the reason why I'm late. But easily I was like, oh my God, I wanted to get out and push the car. You know, just get through the light. And we act like that one light is just gonna change our life, right? If I could just get through that one light, everything in my life would be great. Oh my gosh, I had to pull myself together. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then you know what? I had to say a little prayer. This is real confession time. I had to say a little prayer. Because then they were ahead of me and they turned right like they were going to Life Church. And I said, oh Lord Jesus, please don't let them be. Please don't let them be going to Life Church, Lord Jesus, please. Because I don't know if I can face some people this morning. Whew, but God's grace, his compassion, he knew I couldn't handle that this morning. Those people went on about their business and they went to some other church and I was, I said, thank you, Jesus. God's grace, his favor. Amen. Amen. So, one of the things I want us to think about is God's grace doesn't enable us to be the best professional, the best lawyer, the best academic, the best artist. That's not what his grace does. Those things are a byproduct of his grace. Those things are a secondary result. Right? You might be an amazing artist, but God is much more focused on you being an amazing disciple, right? And he may bless your skills as an artist for the purpose of glorifying him, not to put your name in lights. So we have to check ourselves all the time because it's always about me. Somehow, the blessing, the talent, the gifts, the skills, the house, the car, the, it's always about, I'm just awesome. I just got it like that, and I can't do nothing about it. So we have to understand that our profession, a role that we play in life. Sometimes we idolize being a mother. Sometimes we idolize, you know, I'm just so humble. I'm just amazingly humble. So proud of my humility. It just flows, right? These things we have to be careful of, because it's really easy to sort of say, it's me. It really is me. I'm so awesome, right? But remember that God's grace has enabled us to do what he has called us to do as his people, as his representative, as his special people called. You know you're called to be a people? Do you know you're called to be a people? A people. You're not a group of individual Christians. You're called to acknowledge yourself as part of a people. A people set aside for God. This, I think, is very important. I've been doing church for 20 years, and one of the things I find very interesting is the divisions, right? Baptists, Methodists, we do this, you do that, we jump back twice, you guys flip over three times, we spin in circles, you don't do that. You know, so it's like we focus so much on how different we are. And we forget that Methodist, that Baptist, that Catholic, they're part of a people. If they embrace Jesus and put their trust in Jesus for the pardoning of their sins and have trusted Jesus for eternal life, they're part of a people. And we really have to understand that people don't have to be in Life Church for us to love them. Amen. They don't have to sit under Pastor Rocco and Pastor Eva for us to identify as part of their family or to embrace them as part of our family. So we have to really acknowledge that we are a people, and as a people, we have been set aside and raised up for a particular mission, right? The Israelites were set aside, chosen, the smallest, the weakest of all the nations, of all the tribes. Why? Because who would get the glory? God. If he picked the strongest, you know, the fastest, you know, can chuck the spear the farthest, I mean, how's he getting any glory out of that? It is when he takes people, imperfect, weak, flawed, sinful, that he is glorified. He is glorified. So we need to identify ourselves as part of a great people. Amen? Amen. So let's take a look at Romans 4:20. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is probably the best news ever. Where sin increased, grace increased more. That's an amazing thing. So God gives you grace beyond the proportion of your sin. He gives you grace above and beyond your sin. And when we think about situations that we might be dealing with where sin is involved, we know that God has released grace beyond that situation. So if you are in a difficult relationship, you can know that God has given you grace above and beyond that situation to deal with it. To deal with it. Whatever we're dealing with, God gives us grace above and beyond that situation. So it's almost like, I think Brother Michael was teaching on this one time, it's almost like we are just in a bubble of grace. We are just surrounded with it. We are surrounded with it. And we have to remember that whatever we're facing, whatever we're struggling with, God gives us enough grace to handle it. And that's what we need to look for. That's what we need to look for. So it's like great, like sin multiplied, but grace superabounded. It exceeded it, right? And we have to understand that. What's my notes say here? The comparison here is between the multiplication of one offense into countless transgressions and such an overflow of grace as more than meets that appalling case, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, God has enabled you with grace to stand in that situation. John 1, it's on your sheet. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus. So when we became believers, we received the grace that God had for us through Jesus. We were enabled at that point to live lives as children of God. So you can see that the law has its limitations. The law just highlights sin. That's what it does. Kind of like this street I live on, they used to have a lot of accidents at this street, right? So people would sort of blow through this intersection all the time. And I mean, it was kind of like whoever got through it fastest was better off. That's kind of how the situation was. But then at some point, they put a stop sign there. They put a stop sign that said, stop. And I think for a while, it took people a minute to figure out they're supposed to stop there because the stop sign wasn't there before. So they're still blowing through and going through. But now they're breaking the law. They weren't aware that they were breaking the law before, but now they're breaking the law. The situation hasn't changed, right? Now they have to deal with the consequences of the law. So when we look at the law and how it works, it highlights a bad situation. It doesn't make the situation. It just brings it to your attention, right? It's kind of like you go to a museum, right? No, there's a grass, right? We were doing our grass over one time with the condo association. And, you know, people walking across the grass, right? Then we put keep off the grass sign. And I think that tempted people to walk across the grass even more. I ain't keeping off the grass. So there's something about being told we can't do something that stirs up that sin condition in our heart. Right? You go to a museum and say, don't touch. What do you want to do? First thing you want to do is touch and see how it feel. And you're looking to see if the security is looking at you. Right? It's just something we do. You tell a child, don't do that. First thing I'm going to do, figure out, how can I do that? I'm trying to figure out how I can do that, and where is she? She's watching her favorite Lifetime movie. Okay, this is my chance. That's what we do. So the law highlights our sinful nature. That's all it does. But grace comes because of God's compassion towards our sinful nature. That's what the grace is for. And that's what Jesus brings into our life, grace and truth. Grace enables us to endure and persevere through tough times. I'm going to look at Paul in 2 Corinthians. Paul says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Paul's talking about himself. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up in paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Some of us boast because we want the adoration of man. To keep me from becoming conceited, it's really interesting, as Paul, like us, understands that oftentimes God's blessings can make us conceited. They can make us think more highly of ourselves than we ought. In Paul's situation, given what Paul had been called to do, God could not risk Paul beginning to think this was about him. It would have been very dangerous for Paul to do that. So at that point, because of that, because Paul had seen surpassingly great revelations, things he's not even able to speak about, he was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. Now, this is a loving God, right? We think because God loves us, we're never supposed to experience a second of discomfort. Not a second. God, this hurt. Take it away. I don't like it. Not a second. God had put something in Paul's life that was a daily pain in his side. It's not clear what it is, but it was something that Paul asked the Lord to remove repeatedly. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Grace wouldn't be necessary if we didn't face opposition in our lives. If life was easy and breezy, and you know, this is commercial, I can't think if it's a car commercial where all the lights are green and you know they're just smooth sailing. If life was like that, you wouldn't need God's enabling power to get you through anything. But God understands that life is hard. He knows the conditions that we face, and he knows every trial and every temptation that's been designed for you, especially. And we have to understand that God doesn't always change our circumstance. Most often, he doesn't. Most often, he's depending on us to rely on his grace to endure that circumstance. Our inclination, every human being, God, stop the pain. Stop it. I can't take it. This hurts. This sucks. It's bad. I hate it. And God's like, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. I've given you all that you need to endure. I've given you all that you need to stand. I've given you all that you need to still be the loving disciple I've called you to be, despite the circumstances. Each of us has a situation in our lives right now that requires God's grace. We all, right now, are dealing with something that has got us on our knees. Feels like more than we can bear. And that requires God's grace. We have marriages that we're trying to hold together. We have finances that don't last at the end of the month. We have health situations that we're struggling with. We have relationships that have gone south. We're being falsely accused of something. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. This is life. This is real life, right? That each of us has an area of sin that we're struggling with. We need God's grace. It could be envy, it could be pride, anger, selfishness, sexual immorality, or just not believing God's promises. Just not believing what God says to you about his love for you. But God's grace enables us to overcome. Amen. Amen. Change something in my notes. Okay. I made some sort of change in my notes, but anyway. As I wrap up, God tells us to not offer parts of our body to sin as instruments of wickedness. So when you first hear this passage, it's easy to think about sex, right? Somebody think about parts of body, wickedness equals sex, right? But, you know, we can use our minds for evil thoughts, right? We can use our tongue to gossip and slander and speak ill of one another. We can use our eyes to take in images that are inappropriate for us. We can use our hands to hurt others or take things that don't belong to us. This is the misuse of different parts of our bodies, right? And all of us are facing a struggle to become what God wants us to be. Right? We're struggling to do what he wants us to do. But in that, we're expected to persevere. When we need help, we're to go to God. So Hebrews says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I've actually heard people say, "I know God's tired of me, tired of the situation, tired of me being stuck in the situation, tired of me coming to him for help." God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than us. God doesn't get tired of his children. That is Satan trying to get you to think that. Because we get tired of each other, we think God gets tired of us, right? But it's a great thing that we ain't God. God does not get tired of you. Please hear that. You must understand that God expects you to turn to him when you're in trouble. Boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. I don't care if this is your 92nd time there with the same issue. Boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. It's kind of like your children. You would never want your children to be afraid to tell you they need your help. Never. You're like, "Oh, please, you know, don't ever be afraid to ask me to help you." That's what parents tell their children all the time, right? God is the same way. He wants you to turn to him first. First. There were times when God would put the Israelites in bondage just so they could cry out to him, because they'd forget him. They'd go off and start trusting in other things. And God would say, "Okay, Babylonians, go. Take them. They're not listening. They've forgotten me again." And when they cry out, he goes, "Oh, okay. I've been waiting for you to do that." God is waiting for us to ask for his help, to ask for his grace. His objective is to change us. So you might have struggled with this 92 times, the 93rd time you might be set free. He's wanting to change us. So we have to turn to him with that situation, no matter what it is. So next week, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, because I think he's one of the greatest examples of God's grace, right? And I want to encourage you to know that we are under God's grace, and because of that, we can be what he's called us to be. We can do what he's called us to do. And his unmerited favor releases love and compassion into our circumstances. Amen? Praise God.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.